You're listening to the Dad Bod Golf Pod with Kyle Rush, Ben Taylor, and Nate Pass.
What's up, everybody? We're back again. Finally, it's episode 242 of the Dad Bod Golf Pod. Happy Thursday. It's Kyle and Ben. I have been absolutely through the ringer from Disney to the flu. My voice is finally coming back. But you know what? No excuses. Let's play like a champion today. We're going to have some fun tonight, Ben. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Tonight's episode is brought to you by Bet Online, the number one sports betting website in the country. Hey, when you're down with the flu, you'll screw around and you'll start betting on a lot of games.
Oh, my.
And the best place to do it is at Bet Online. Live bet. Hey, I tell you what, when you're stuck in the bed and you're watching games, you can live bet till the cows come home. So that account. To that count hits zero or until it hits, you know, infinity. It's tons of fun. Use your coupon code BLEAV for a welcome bonus when you sign up for the first time. BLEAV, get a 50% welcome bonus. So you give them $100, they're gonna give you 50 back to play with for free. Go nuts. Go have fun, go to the casino, do everything. It's a great place, a lot of fun. Bet online, it's where the game starts. Ben, I'm happy to be back. And ready to get in the swing of things. I had fun.
Yes.
Had fun at Disney.
Yeah.
Kids had a blast. Saw a lot of cool golf courses on the little transit rides in and out. And I'm like, dang, man, I really want to go test that out. Me and my dad, we had a restaurant. We were waiting for the bus, and it was in, I think it's maybe Saratoga Springs or something. One of those that has the golf course within it. And you're sitting at the stop and you're watching dudes tee off and you're like, all right, let's see what kind of golfer this guy is. I haven't played in a while. Feeling better, ready to go.
Nice. I have not played in a while either, but I didn't get the chance to go to Disney like you did. So
love your hat, by the way.
Were you guys completely – that's Grayson Huff. Thank you, bud. Appreciate that.
Yep.
Little hookup.
I wore mine all throughout Disney.
Got a lot I saw looks. It in the pictures. Your wife has already uploaded all these pictures. I don't know if you knew you were internet famous yet or not, but you're all on the worldwide internet web.
No doubt.
So I saw the hat. Yeah, I was how tired did you get? Like when we came back, we had to take like a vacation day just before we went back to work.
You know, I got sick immediately when I got back. So I was pretty much out Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So, I mean, I was down hard, like, hard. I couldn't talk for a couple of days. It was I don't know if it was exhaustion plus the virus thing that I got, whatever.
Yeah.
The Mickey flu, but it was you know, that place is, if you really think about it, it's really disgusting. Like there's people everywhere. You're sweating, you're touching everything, you're getting in it after people have sweated, farted, burped, everything all in it.
Threw up
and you're just jumping right on top of it. So but it was worth it. Kids had a blast, and
people are touching each other, just carrier monkeys, just passing stuff around.
Oh yeah, it's disgusting. Yeah.
And more it is. About it, it's just if you think about it, you literally should just cloak yourself in sanitizer after each ride.
Why do we go there? I have no idea.
But because your kids,
exactly, and they had a blast.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, over the weekend, it was kind of like Disney World for a few golfers. When some news came out from the RNA chief which I think this is big that it started here. Now it would have been better if it would have been the Masters, but this is probably second best that the RNA chief says they're not banning anyone that qualifies for the Open, the British Open, the Open, whatever you want to call it. They're not banning anyone from their tournament. Which I think is a absolute huge, huge swing in the favor of the LIV guys. Now, you still got to qualify. You still got to have world ranking points, which they don't have yet. So they got to do the stuff they got to do there. But if you're a winner or you go through the Open qualifying process and you get in, and I think that's fair. That's just the way it's supposed to be. That what's crazy to me is that we have an article about this that says, hey, we're going to do the same thing we've done forever. Like that's what we're going to keep doing. We're going to keep doing what we've always done. That blows my mind that we have a press release, an article news wave all about it. That just, hey, we're going to keep doing what we've always been doing. That's the news.
I think the more important thing too is this kind of sets the tone for the rest of them, because U.S. Open is going to have to do the same thing, because same deal is if they have enough points or if they go through the qualifications. Now you can go ahead and go down that line of, okay, so now Brooks Koepka or DJ is going to have to go through the qualifications, like U.S. Open qualifiers, like everybody else. So that's going to snub some decent golfer that's out there that won't make it, because these are tour pros that are just going to blow through the field more than likely at some of these courses. However, it also, to me, opens up the field to, say, the Masters or PGA Championship, where now are you pressured that you got to invite past champions? Because they had said before they had not made a decision on that yet or not. And it's kind of like, well, those guys can play in the Open, because if you've won the Open Championship, that's
now
a qualification.
Exemptions are something that they're not 100% sure yet.
Okay.
What they're going to do. They'll go public with that probably sometime in January or February. But he just said this. If you want a guide, go back to look what I said in July. We're not banning anyone.
Yeah.
We're not going to betray 150 years of history and have the Open not be open. The name says it all, and that's important. What we will do is ensure that there is an appropriate pathway and ways to qualify. I look forward to seeing Cam Smith tee up around 9:40 a.m. on the first day of the Open next year.
Be fantastic, man. Looking there forward to that, as well as some others that probably will have enough points, at least for this year's Open. They'll probably have enough points. I'm not sure how that's going to affect moving in the future, but we shall see. I love it. I love the fact that, I mean, we said this months ago whenever they started talking about, oh, the LIV guys are going to miss out. They're not going to be playing the majors. It's like, how can you keep them from the Open? It's in the friggin' name. It says Open. It's open to anybody. It's open to anybody except these people. If that's not the definition of just snubbing somebody, I don't know what is. So at least they've come out and they've said it and kind of reiterated it. You still haven't heard from the U.S. Open, and I'm kind of curious to see what the other majors say, so.
Well, my next question was, do you think this makes kind of sort of puts pressure on them to have to make an announcement or have to make a call? Or
I think the U.S. Open does. I think the U.S. Open does.
Yeah.
The Masters is an invite only. You got to receive your invitation. So, I mean, you do have to qualify as well, but that's a little different. And then the PGA Championship, that's a qualification process as well. But I mean, the Opens are qualification processes too, but that's what has always made them unique, is they are open to everyone. You get the stories of the Francis Ouimets, and you get the stories of, the guy that's not even ranked making a charge on Sunday, even to finish in the top 25, just because he was able to go through a U.S. Open qualifier. So I think that, yeah, with the Open Championship or British Open or whatever you want to call it, if they've come out and they've said, we're open, then yes, as the PGA Tour season starts, somebody from the PGA Tour or from the U.S. Open is going to need to come out within something in the next month or two and say, yep, same with us.
Right.
I don't think you have to do it with the Masters and PGA Championship. They can probably sit on their hands to the last minute.
I wouldn't think you would know. I don't think we'll know about the Masters until, like, people that are supposed to get invitations around the time, if people are getting kicked out. I'm sure there's like a certain time that invitations go out. So like, let's just say it's, I don't know, for past champions, it's January 10th. I don't know. I'm just making that up. I'm making that number up, that date up. And if Phil
it's
Mickelson,
definitely after Christmas, because you see some of the pros on their first time, they'll always post it on their social media, their invite card. So it's after Christmas.
So, but those dudes that play in it every year and they get their invitation, I'm sure it's close to the same day every year.
Yeah.
When they don't get it this time, I think that's when you find out. That's when you start finding out who they've kicked out or who they decided can or can't play. I just don't think they care. Like, they don't have to care. If they want to do it, they will. If they don't want to do it, they won't, and they do not care of the ramifications.
Augusta just plays by a different set of rules. that's like years ago when CBS came forward and they were like, we're going to do this and do this and do that. And Augusta National was like, you do what you want to do. We just won't put it on television.
Exactly.
And CBS was like, you can't do that. They're like, you can do what we want to do. Like, we allow you to be here.
For sure. For sure.
We know you pay a lot of money, but you know what? Damn that money. We don't care. Like we can do without you. And
Absolutely.
So Augusta National can play by its own rules. PGA Championship, a little bit different. And, of course, the two opens, they're going to have to keep it. I think a lot of this is going to start trickling down, Kyle, within the next few months because you've already heard some of the players that have talked about the Ryder Cup, where they have said even current Ryder Cup guys that are going to go, they're like, we want the best on the Ryder Cup. I don't care what league they play in. We want the best playing and representing Europe and representing the United States. And they're kind of grandstanding on it, where they're kind of like, this needs to happen. Like, I'm sorry, put all your bickering aside. Put all your team stuff aside, whatever you're doing, money grubbing stuff. DJs went undefeated last time in the Ryder Cup. Like Americans are like, we want him on the team.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, I'm sorry, that sucks that he's not in this league, but we want him on the team.
Absolutely. You're talking about playing by a different set of rules. You know, if you use a Blue Tees rangefinder, it almost feels like you're playing with a different set of rules because. You have all the features of the top-notch rangefinders, but you get it for a fraction of the price. And it's like this is like a completely different game here. I mean, I got the same thing you have, but I didn't pay twice right. the amount. So use coupon code DABBOD and take an additional 10% off that. You get the toggle on and off slope in the Series 3. You get the magnet that sticks to the side of the cart. You get the buzz whenever it locks onto the pin, just like the good ones do. I mean, you got everything. You got everything. Look really cool. Come with a really cool case. I don't know why you do it. I don't know why you would go spend double that on one of the name brand guys.
Double, triple in some instances.
Yeah, you got the Bluetooth speakers that can come with it for extra, all kind of stuff. Great website. Great, just a great company in general. So check them out, bluetees.com. It's where rangefinders start. So
I think they still got the whiteouts too going through Christmas.
Still got the whiteouts.
If you want to hook that up, you want to tell the wife, hey, look, this is very cool. Give me the package because you get the white Blue Tees rangefinder along with the speaker and the magnet if you need it.
Absolutely. So sort of dovetailing, we talked a little bit live in the RNA, the finale at Doral this past weekend for the Live Tour Championship happened. And of course, I believe the Aces won.
The four Aces, yes.
Yeah, the greatest dynasty that sports has ever known. The four Aces, they dominated. Pat Perez, he had a funny quote, said basically he didn't give an F how bad he played because he got paid.
Yep.
And boy, did they get paid. I'm pulling up this article, so. We know if we basically have it. So,
I can tell you this in the four races, number one seed entering the championship, they got the victory, with Johnson, Reed, Perez, all shooting 2 under 70s. Gooch shot a 1 under 71, 7 under aggregate and, won by a couple of shots and then, pocketing another $4 million. Johnson increased his on course live earnings for just this year. We might as well say 2 months left in the year because we just started November. $35.5 million, $35,637,767, including $18 million bonus for being the top player at the Upstart Circuit season long points race.
Eight tournaments. And
it does not include the reported $150 million guaranteed just to sign with the league. So he said, it's been amazing. It's been incredible. Whole season's gotten better and better. Obviously, the finale to win, and it's been unbelievable. Yeah, I'm sure, buddy. $35 million. That's true.
So he basically made $200 million this year.
Yes.
That's fake. Like, it seems fake. Like, it's not, it can't be real.
And that's the thing is, you know that some of the players on the PGA Tour, when they say it's not about the money, it's not about the money. And then they see that this guy just made $200 million. It's like, it's somewhat about the money. You know, when they're like, you know, I could go over there and make that money too, but I'd rather stay here because it's all about being on the PGA Tour. Man, $200 million will speak to a lot of people. I'm just going to tell you.
Speak deeply. Speak deeply.
Winner getting $16 million. That was the four Aces, so they split that. So Pat Perez gets $4 million for doing nothing.
How much did Pat Perez make this year?
He made over $8 million. Which is by far more than he's made. I don't think it's more than he's made his career, but it's definitely more than he's made his career on the course, he said. And then
Definitely more than like I would imagine he probably never made over like $2 or $3 million in a given year, and he just made eight, and he played like dog shit,
he
basically.
put yeah, put it this way, he didn't finish inside the top 16 once.
No, he was like out of 64 or 68 guys, he was like 53 or something like that in points or something.
Unbelievable. And so he, you know, and it, and he said it best. I mean, you're right. I mean, he's one that he and Varner talked about the money, and he, you just said it, his quote, "I'm paid. I don't give a damn."
Yeah.
I mean, and he's right. I mean, it is what it is. I talked to somebody that I really thought was anti-Liv, a family member of mine, and they were like, "Look, I'm okay with them doing like Harold Varner and Pat Perez and coming out and saying that they're doing it for the money because that's what it's for, and they're changing their family's lives and having a good time with it. So you know what?
Sure.
Go have a good time. Go party. Go do what you want to do."
Absolutely.
So the second place guys got $8 million. They split that four ways. Third got $6 million, and the fourth, the Stingers, got $4 million to split. So that's the
Who
thing. He
came in
finished
second? Who came in second? The
the
Crushers?
Punch. Cameron Smith, Mark Leishman, Matt Jones, and
Okay.
Wade Ormsby. If
Okay.
Cam chips in on 18, they would have won. He had to get up and down, and DJ had to three putt in order to tie. So that it came down to 18. I mean, it's when they say there's no, you know, live, oh, there's no excitement. Let me just tell you, coming down the stretch, and this team golf, this is really coming down the stretch. I think it was the Stingers were completely out of it, Kyle. And then all of a sudden, in like a span of holes, in like four holes, every one of them birdied. They jumped like seven spots. It was
Yeah,
unbelievable.
you can jump
So,
quick.
and they ended up getting $1 million for that. I mean, the team, I mean, it's fourth place, but it's $4 million total. So they get $1 million apiece just for coming in right there at the end. So,
It's crazy.
the third place team, Smash, which was Brooks Koepka, Peter Uihlein, Jason Kokrak, and Chase Koepka, they finished at four over. So that was another, it was a two horse race. It was between Punch and Four Aces. Four Aces finishing at seven under, and Punch finished at six under. And then the next guy was over par. So, it got a little ugly after that. But it's because of
Still
that.
got a little sneezies.
It's because of that team atmosphere. Now, what's interesting is Dustin Johnson has traded away Taylor Gooch already.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you didn't know that, did you?
I did not know that.
Yeah, he is picking up, I think, Peter Uihlein, if I'm not mistaken. And he and Taylor Gooch, I think this was a requested trade. He is going to Bubba's team that did not exist because he was injured. He is going to Bubba's team.
Okay.
So
We'll shake up. We'll
it's
shake
going to
up.
be Taylor, Bubba, Harold Varner the third, and I've
Like that.
forgotten who the fourth one is.
They're going to all wear Jordans.
Yeah, it was another
It's got to be
American.
Pat
So
Perez.
no, Pat Perez is
That'd
staying. Yeah, when they said that, when they were like, when they
be
came
the
out,
all shoe team.
it was the next day, and it was like, you know, he's wasting no time. He's trading away Taylor Gooch, and I was like, he didn't trade away Pat Perez?
Yeah.
But I think it was a
You know
mutual
what?
agreement where he was
All
like,
dynasties come to an end eventually. All dynasties come to an end eventually. It's crazy.
it'd be interesting to see how that goes moving forward. So, yeah, I thought that was interesting. Like a day and a half later, it's like Taylor Gooch got his money, now he's going to another team. But it's to Bubba's team because he knows Bubba and he knows Harold Varner, HV3. So he's going to play with those guys and probably have fun doing that as well. And I think
That'd
that'd
be
be
a
a
cool
tough team.
team. That'd be a cool team. I would like to watch that team. Speaking of liking to watch the teams, like there's a some surveys done. It's first season down. Like what a like real golf people, what do they think about it? And there's an article on Golf Digest, and it seems like that the vast majority are it could be interesting, but the TV thing is
Yes, it's looming.
Killing them, and unless they change their broadcast strategy, it doesn't look like this thing could catch on. I agree. Until you can get it's fun. It's not bad to get on YouTube. It's not bad. Like it looks good on YouTube. It looks like a regular broadcast. The broadcast part of it on YouTube is actually really good. You can't keep it on YouTube. It's got to get on a network
Yeah.
somehow, or it's just gonna I say it's going to die. I guess they could just pay like money forever. I don't know that the money will ever run out, but
I think they're going to stop playing here. I told you earlier, they were talking about the numbers being down, and earlier in the season, when they play overseas, those overseas networks do pick them up. So people can watch it on television when they go across the pond. We can't. So they've got to do a deal with an American network television of some sort if they're going to continue to play on United States soil, or we're just going to see nothing but international matches here moving forward. And they don't care about the streaming numbers because they will get the advertising dollars through those networks overseas and in Europe. And they said that, you know, Asia and India, they were constantly, you know, showing them on television because they, you know, it's either cricket or golf. So they're going to be showing that. And so they were saying that they're getting their money elsewhere. They're not getting it in the United States as far as ad dollars are concerned. So, yeah, only people hurting are the American fans right now that are not willing to. I mean, I told you, my dad's not going to log on and watch that.
No, my dad's not either.
And
my dad likes to watch golf. You know, your boomers or whatever you want to call it. I don't know. Maybe a little bit younger than that. 50 plus, 55 plus. Like,
no, my dad's a boomer. He's 73. He ain't logging on and watching that.
No. But probably loves to watch golf.
He
from
does.
55 to 75, like, that's a very core demographic for
– yeah.
For the PGA Tour, and they're just not gonna. I'm not PGA Tour for golf,
for golf
viewership, and they're just not gonna do it. They're not going to take the effort to figure out how to get YouTube on the big screen, and they're not gonna watch golf on their phone, and they're not gonna go watch golf on a laptop. It's got to be on CBS, NBC, Fox.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got to be on one of those.
I said that about FS1. Like, I'm not so certain my dad knows what FS1 if it went to there, because they were talking about doing that deal with FS1, and I thought, crap, I'm not gonna get called down there and teach him how where that is.
Hey,
on the,
but you can tell him to put it on 219 on DirecTV. I think that's what it is. It might be that. I think it is.
Yeah, he's got the what is no? He's got Dish. You know, he keeps switching back. When they go up on his rate, he just switches. He's got both those satellites up there. So he just flips it over. He's like, nope, I'm not doing it. I'm not paying anymore.
Oh, man.
It is
219. I used to have DirecTV. That yearly conversation always pissed me off. Like, I got to the point where one time I was like, all right, here's the deal. They would go in on me and like, hey, we got to do. I was like, here's the deal. Well, I paid this much for 5 years. I want to keep paying this much. You can send me to the promotions guy, whatever you want to call it, whatever. I'm not paying. I've paid this much for this many years. I'm not paying more than this. And then finally, one time they were like, okay, fine. We'll just disconnect you. They're like, we're not doing it anymore. I was like, okay. That's when I cut the cord and went to YouTube TV. I was like, I am not paying. I'm not paying what I, you know.
So you put them outrage. In, and I can imagine your temper. You probably laid into them a little bit like I did. So my aunt worked for AT&T, which is tied in with DirecTV.
Yeah.
And she said, what you need to do is you need to call, you need to ask for the floor supervisor. And when you look at me giving all this advice over the internet too, by the way, ask for the floor supervisor. When the floor supervisor picks up, said, I would like to terminate my contract. That immediately goes to a regional supervisor because they don't have the ability to do that.
Right.
And then that's where you work your deal with the person that's the regional supervisor.
You know what I used to do? I used to call sales because customer service, they only have like three people working for all the DirecTV people ever.
Yeah.
So you go, you call sales. There's a shitload of those people.
Yes.
So call sales, pick up the phone and say, okay, I don't really want to buy anything, but I want to cancel my contract. And then they work your way through.
Yeah. It's a frustrating thing. I had a similar situation that I did that, and they finally sent me the person, and then they were like, okay, so we'll give you this for this amount and this for this amount, and basically for the next 6 months. And I did the same thing you did. I said, I don't think you understand. I'm okay with paying X amount. I just don't want it to go up every 6 months.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not asking you
Let's
to
lock it in.
Give me a discount, and then it jumped from that to $150 one month. I'm saying I'm willing to pay this for the next 2 years. That's why it's called a two-year contract. They're like, nope, can't do that.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's so stupid.
Cut the cord. Everybody cut the cord. It makes no sense to pay that much money anymore.
That's right. YouTube TV. Then you find us on YouTube because that's where we are and you can watch us.
Bingo.
I mean, it's very easy.
All right, so you can save money by cutting the cord. Let me tell you something else. You can save money on golf fashion by going to swannies.co. You can
Yes.
save huge. You can save 25% off literally every order you ever make through them using coupon code DadBodGolfPod -25. Take 25% off every single order. They're dropping a new line. They do it every year around Thanksgiving. The Black Swan. Is it Black Swan? Is that what it
Yes.
is? The
Yep.
Black Swan collection. We've all got our boxes. We should be releasing videos soon. Everything in it is spectacular. I think I couldn't tell if I like what I got, but I can't tell. I couldn't tell if I thought Ben won or Nate won. It's a toss up.
I haven't opened mine yet because I want to do the video. I want to be in the surprise
well,
unboxing.
I had to do it. I had to open it so because I had to.
Well, your history shows that that's the truth.
Yeah. Well, I had to actually. I had to because.
Those of you that are just joining us that weren't at the first of the podcast,
Yeah.
Kyle, they send us a bag, every one of us a bag, so we're all going to open it together, and then Kyle releases these pictures that we put on the Instagram talking about he's waiting on us, he's waiting on us to do it, and blah blah blah, and then he gets in front of us and he just freaks out. His conscience gets the best of him. He goes, "I got to admit, guys, I opened my box and hit my gun."
I did. I
We're like,
100%
what a
did.
jerk, because we didn't. Me and Nate
I
held
couldn't
ours
wait.
like we legit opened ours like brand new in front of everybody.
I couldn't wait. Had to
Not
do it.
Kyle. He had a sneak peek. And then he's tried to sell it too. He's like, "Oh, this is awesome. It's the first time I've ever seen it. It's so cool."
Yep.
Liar.
Had to do it. Had to do it. All right. So yeah, check them out. Swannies.co. It's where fashion starts. All right. Last thing we want to talk about. Could get a little dicey. We're going to go through it quick though.
Uh-oh.
Article talking about should you tip golf bag attendants before or after or both
Yeah.
year round and how much? I'm not really going to read the article. I'm just going to pose that question to you, Ben. Should you tip the bad guy?
I don't like tipping the guy that meets me halfway to the parking lot and tries to take my bag because I got to get it off my shoulder and I literally got to walk another 20 feet. So I feel bad if I give it to him and don't give him money. So I usually am like, "No, man, I got it," because it's too much work to get it off my shoulder. I got it. So I'm not big on that. I am big if they're going to clean your clubs. You know, I wanted to throw caddying in there. And the reason being is because we're in an area that there are not a lot of caddies. So when we go play resort golf, it always is funny how some of the either pro shops or caddy masters, the one caddy master that we dealt with at Shoal, he's not this way at all, which I love. Where I was like, "Look, I'm not real sure how much to pay this. I don't know what the rule of thumb is here. Can you give me a heads up?" And he usually will say, "Oh yeah, no problem. You know, usually you'd like to do this. If you're not pleased with the work, you can go a little under, but this is what these guys
We're not
depend
talking
on."
about caddying, though. We're not talking about caddying. We're talking about strap your bags, unstrap your bags, maybe clean the club face.
If after I'm a post-round tipper, I'm not a pre-round tipper.
Okay.
Just because I've already got my clubs on my back. You're going to take them, what, another 20 yards from where I got them and put them on the back, but I'm probably going to have to readjust it and put it like I want it anyway because I don't like the way you do it.
Yeah.
So I'm not a big pre-round tipper. Post-round tip, if they're going to clean my clubs and wipe them down and all that, yeah, I'll give them some money.
See, I would have thought you would have been me in the scenario and I would have been you, but I don't know that I've ever tipped. If I have cash in my pocket, I might, but like
Oh, if I don't
there's
have
a
cash,
level.
I'll tell them not to wipe the clubs down because I will not.
I'm
I'll
gonna
be like,
get
"I don't have any
Nate's gonna
money,
poop
sir."
all over me. I wish
Oh,
Nate could
there's
be
no
on here
doubt.
for this one
Yeah.
because Nate was a cart guy. I was a cart guy too. I worked at a club one time and nobody ever tipped me. Nobody ever tipped me anything. And I pulled all the carts out. I filled the range balls up, all that stuff. Never got a tip.
Yeah, but that was your job.
No, but listen. We had an interleague match one time. Like another club came and played some people of our club, and we were getting bags out. People were throwing dollars at me. Like, I couldn't. I'm like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do here. My people don't do this to me. So, I mean, I'm getting money. I guess it's a club thing, a culture thing, but like, I just don't. I don't. There's a level of service that has to be
Yeah.
given to earn, $2 or $3 for a 20-second interaction.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm out on that. I'm out on that. I'll tip the crap out of a caddy, you know, you do me a solid, like if I lose a club on a hole and you got to go, I call the pro shop and you go out and you go out and get the club and you bring it to me.
Oh, that's a lot of money I'm paying that cat at the end of the day if he goes and does that.
You know, if my cart dies and you ride a cart all the way back, ride all the way, a cart all the way out to me and we get in that cart and go, and or you got to push a car, just get my, just strapping my clubs to the back, clubs to the cart. I don't know, man. That's just, I struggle with that.
That's why I avoid it. That's why I just say, no, I got it. And I'll do it because I don't want to be in the awkward situation where I'm like, now I got to go digging through my pocket to get you a couple of dollars just because you carried my clubs 20 yards.
And I never have cash. I never have cash either. No. So I'm a big Venmo guy. But you know what? I'm not going to pull out and say, hey, what's your Venmo? Let me send you $2. Like what?
No, but that would be fantastic if like caddies wore like a t-shirt that had their QR code right there on their t-shirt.
And you just scanned like, it.
Yep.
No, that's not a bad idea. No, that's not a bad caddy, idea. I still wouldn't do it. I still wouldn't do it, but you know, it might help them in the future. Yeah, I'm just, I don't know. It's not to me that it doesn't unlock the level of.
I also wonder if it's a generational thing. There's a gentleman that I used to play with that was, he was much older than me and he tipped everybody. He was like Rodney Dangerfield. It was like in that article. We showed up on the course. He started handing out money left and right. And it wasn't a ton of money. I mean, it was just, he just went to the course like he'd just come from the strip club with a bunch of $1 bills and started just hand, like, guys, get his bag, hand him money. Guys, you know, pulled his card around for him. Here you go. Here's a couple of bucks. You know, you walk in, you order a drink from the girl. He orders a Diet Coke and he gives her $4 in tip. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, quit handing out money.
I'm with you.
They don't expect it. So don't, you know, I'm like you. You have to perform a pretty big service. I mean, this goes like to the restaurant thing where they get mad at you when they've got on the iPad. You stand in line, you get your food, you pay for it on an iPad, and it's like, hey, you know, there's a tip thing there, and you put no tip, and they just glare at you, and it's like, you didn't do anything. I drove up here. I stood in line. I got my food. Like, I'm carrying it home. Like, if you were a delivery service, and I paid for you to, you know, Uber Eats, you get a tip, because you went and got it for me.
Yeah, and you brought it here.
But I drove up here, got out of my car, and walked inside. No, you don't get a tip. That's the tip is do more Uber Eats. That's your tip.
There you go. There you go. Absolutely. Well, guys, we really appreciate it. It's episode 2.
We sound real cheap. You think we sound cheap?
I mean, I'm not typically a cheap guy, and I tip really good in restaurants.
Or frugal? I think it's more frugal.
No, I think it's just you.
I think it's common sense.
I think it's just common sense. I really do. I think we got duped into this deal where we feel like we have to tip for nothing. So, you know, if that makes you just make me want to carry my own bag to the cart from now on, I will.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's like that. It's like on Crocodile Dundee where the guy's standing outside and he's got his hand like this and Crocodile Dundee gives him five. But yeah, there you go.
Oh, dear.
Do that.
All right. Well, we appreciate you guys. We're actually going to come back and do an episode tomorrow. So y'all stay tuned. We're going to get caught up. We had a rough week. I had a rough week and then scheduling and whatnot. We're getting back on track. We're going to do another show tomorrow. So a
couple of weeks I had COVID. Kyle's got the flu. Trust me. We'll figure this thing out. I promise. Yeah. We're going to get better.
Just hang in there. Just hang in there with us. We'll be back tomorrow. So y'all have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Episode 242 of the Dad Bod Golf Pod. We're always stroking, a deep, sick voice stroking.
You've been listening to the Dad Bod Golf Pod. Always stroking.